Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereals shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On, King! On, you Huskies!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puffed Wheat. It's neat. And when you hear that shooting, you're darn tootin'. The Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
And listen, fellas and girls, just picture yourself in Sergeant Preston's shoes, battling desperate outlaws, fighting blizzards on dog sled journeys. Well, you'll soon find out that real stamina calls for a nourishing He-Man breakfast. So remember, every time you eat a heaping bowl full of delicious, crisp, Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice, you get extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. So for a nourishing treat, eat swell-tasting Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. When he returned to the town of Porcupine from Dawson, Dr. Tom Granite was wearing civilian clothes for the first time in nearly 10 years. He had held the rank of assistant surgeon in the Northwest Mounted Police and had resigned from the force to establish himself in private practice. Tom looked forward eagerly to seeing Mary Ramsey, the banker's daughter.
Oh, you Huskies. Oh, there.
Leaving his dogs and sled, Tom hurried around the rear of the house. As he passed the partially open window of the lighted library, Tom glanced inside. What he saw made him stop abruptly. Young Jim Ramsey, the banker's nephew, was standing in front of an open safe. He wasn't aware of the fact that his uncle had quietly entered the room behind him. When John Ramsey spoke, Jim spun to face him.
Leave that cash room, Jim.
What? Uncle John, I thought you were at the bank.
Everyone thinks I'm working late at the bank. I left by the back door of the bank and came into the house from the rear.
How'd you know I'd open a safe tonight?
I've been watching for several nights. I knew that sooner or later you'd try to take more money. I know about your gambling losses, Jim. For the last 3 months, you've been covering them with cash from that safe.
All right. You've caught me. What are you going to do about it?
I ought to turn you over to the Mounties.
To Doc Granite?
Granite's more of a doctor than a policeman. Besides, he went to Dawson to resign from the force.
He's resigning because he wants to marry your daughter.
Mary's going to marry Pete Euclid.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you, Uncle John? Pete's made a rich strike. He's a wealthy man. But Mary loves Tom Granite, and she'll marry him.
She'll never marry a penniless ex-Monty with nothing but a degree to his name. I'll see to that.
She'll marry whom she pleases. You can't stop her any more than you can stop me. I'm leaving.
You're not going anywhere, Jim.
Stand back or I'll blow your head off.
Threaten me with a gun, eh?
I'll do more than threaten. I'm leaving here and I'm taking the cash from the safe with me.
I'll take that gun.
Let go.
Drop the gun, Jim.
Not on your life. Let go.
As John Ramsey and his nephew struggled for possession of the .45, the gun suddenly went off. Still holding the weapon, Jim Ramsey fell to the floor, fatally wounded. The banker heard the front door of the house open and close.
No one will believe it was an accident. They'll think I shot him.
The sound of approaching footsteps panicked John Ramsey. He turned and fled through a door leading to the rear of the house. Seconds later, Tom Granite entered the library. The doctor hurried to Jim's side.
Dead.
Tom Granite took the gun from Jim's lifeless hand. He was still holding it when Mary Ramsey entered the room. She was followed by her father and several townsmen.
Oh, no! Jim!
Jim's been shot!
Tom Granite, what are you doing here?
I got to town a little while ago.
Is my nephew dead?
Yes, he's dead, Mr. Ramsey.
Why'd you kill him, Doc?
I didn't kill him.
No one else could have done it.
Good thing we caught you before you got rid of the gun.
Now, hold on. I can explain just
Don't need to explain anything. We can see what happened. You and Jim must have had an argument. You pulled a gun, you shot him.
I didn't shoot
him. No one else could have done it. You and Jim were alone in the house.
Mary, I came to the house because I thought you'd be here. When I passed the library window, I saw your dad and Jim in here arguing.
Oh, Tom, Dad was at the bank.
What?
He wasn't at home. He's been working late every night this week.
Tom Granite realized that John Ramsey had led everyone to believe he'd been at the bank. He knew Mary expected him to explain away the suspicion of murder. He wanted to tell her father was lying, that John Ramsey was the one who had had the argument with Jim. But he couldn't tell the girl he loved that her father was a liar.
Mary, it would be possible for your father to return here from the bank without anyone knowing.
You'll have to think of a better story than that, Tom.
You'd better give yourself up, Tom.
For what?
For murder.
So that's how it is, huh?
That's how it is.
Mr. Ramsey, I don't know why you want to blame me for Jim's death. But I do know you can't make your story stick.
Just because you were a policeman, you probably think you'll get away with it, Tom. But Lawman have gone berserk before.
Hand over the murder gun, Tom.
Stay where you are, Pete. I'm leaving here.
So you're going to run away?
I'm not running from anything, Ramsey. I'll be back when I find a way to make you tell the truth. Don't try to follow me unless you want a broken arm or leg.
Oh, Tom, wait.
I'll be back, Mary.
Hey, he'll get away.
We'll have to stop him.
No, don't try to go after him. He's armed.
But he'll escape.
It's better for him to escape than for one of us to be shot down in cold blood.
I'm going after him.
Don't risk it unless you're armed.
I'll get my 6-5.
If he gets out of town, we'll never catch him. It's too dark to follow tracks.
He'll get away all right.
Well, how do you know?
His sledding dogs are behind the house, all set to travel. Anyone who wants to follow him will have to hit your team.
I can't believe that Tom would kill anyone.
Mary, you go to your room.
But, Dad...
Do as I say, dear. Pete and I will take care of Jim's body.
All right, Dad.
Oh, Pete, I want to talk to you. I'm going to send a report of the killing to Dawson. But it'd help a lot if I had a statement from you.
Well, what kind of a statement?
Suppose you were to say you saw Tom shoot Jim.
Oh, now, hold on, Mr. Ramsey. I didn't see it.
You might have.
Well, yeah, but I...
A statement from an eyewitness would clinch the case against Tom Granite.
It'd go a long way toward hanging him.
Right. You heard him say he'd come back here. If he does, he's likely to convince Mary that he didn't kill Jim. When you and I and everyone else knows he did...
Sure looked like he did, him standing there with a gun in his hand when we walked in.
It's an open and shut case. But as long as he thinks there's a way out of it, he'll be back.
Mary thinks a lot of Tom Granite.
And you think a lot of Mary, don't you?
Give anything in the world if she'd marry me. But with Tom around, I don't stand a chance.
That's just it, Pete. Your statement will make the case against Tom so strong he'll not dare come back. And after he's gone a while, Mary will forget about him.
Yeah, I see what you mean, Ramsey.
Then you'll write a statement to be sent to Dawson?
I'll be glad to.
John Ramsey and Pete Euclid were not disappointed when the men who were searching for Tom Granite returned to town without a prisoner. Pete hoped that in time Mary Ramsey would forget the ex-Mountie, while the banker felt relieved. He was anxious to escape all blame for his nephew's death and promote the marriage of his daughter and Pete. He felt that Tom's disappearance made the former policeman appear even more guilty. He was reasonably sure the statement of an eyewitness would be enough to keep Tom Granite away from Porcupine. Ramsey's report of his nephew's death reached Dawson several days later. As soon as Inspector Conrad had seen it, he sent for Sergeant Preston. The sergeant read John Ramsey's description of the killing, together with the eyewitness statement signed by Pete Euclid.
Well, Sergeant... What do you think of that report?
It's incredible, sir. I can't believe Tom Granite would kill anyone.
I know how you feel, Sergeant. We accepted Dr. Granite's resignation with a great deal of regret. Now I must assign a man to bring him in.
I don't envy the man who draws the assignment, sir.
The assignment is yours, Sergeant. If Tom Granite is guilty, he must be tried for murder.
Well, Inspector, Tom and I are friends. I wish...
You have your order, Sergeant. I'm sure you'll not allow friendship to interfere with your duty.
Of course not, sir. I'll do my best.
As Sergeant Preston left Dawson with the great dog King leading his team of huskies, Tom Granite was in the hills south of Porcupine. Though he felt sure his own explanation of Jim's death would be accepted by the police, the ex-Mountie didn't want to face Mary Ramsey until he could find some way to persuade her father to tell the truth. Tom had left town without food. Game was scarce in the hills, and the doctor knew he would have to find provisions for himself and his dog.
Chief Eaglehead's village is only a couple of hours from here. I'll go there to get supplies. Mash! Mash, you husky!
Tom had gone only a short distance when he saw a man on snowshoes approaching.
Too far away to get a good look at him. Be better if he doesn't get a close look at me. No sense in letting Ramsey and the folks in town know I'm hiding out in the hills.
Hey! Hey there!
Dr. Tom Granite headed toward a screen of thick evergreens. He didn't know that the traveler he was trying to avoid was coming from Chief Eaglehead's village. He was Motapai, the son of the chief. He was on his way to Porcupine to seek help for his people. As soon as the doctor reached the Indian village, he went directly to the quarters of the chief. The old patriarch welcomed him at once, clasping the ex-Mountie's hand firmly in a warm grip of friendship.
Great Spirit, answer prayer. Him send you help my people.
What's the trouble, Chief Eaglehead?
White doctor come with Eaglehead. Me show you sick Indian.
My sled's outside. I'll be with you as soon as I get my bag.
You hurry. My people need white doctor.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. What's up? Who's on the warpath?
No warpath. Me bury hatchet.
What goes on?
Now me big chief. Make celebration.
Oh, I see. Well, congratulations are in order. And say, I have something I'd like to give you because it's just what a big chief ought to have for breakfast every morning.
Oh, must be special big for big chief.
It is. Everything about Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice is big. Take a look at the big red and blue packages.
Ah, me like colors red, blue.
And did you ever see any cereal so deliciously crisp and big as Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice?
Aye, plenty big.
Yes, those choice premium kernels of wheat and rice shot from guns are actually exploded up to 8 times normal size.
A big chief like them big.
And what a big eating treat, too. They're shot from guns to make them crisp and tender. Bigger and better tasting. There's bang-up nut-like flavor in every big, luscious mouthful.
Me want heap big bowlful now.
Coming up, Big Chief, Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice are ready to serve. We just top them with milk or cream and fruit, and then go to it. And as all you fellas and girls know, you can always have those second and third helpings because Quaker puffed wheat and rice are so good for you. They both furnish added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. Don't miss out a single morning. For a heap big treat, eat Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat. The breakfast cereals shot from guns. Now to continue. It was the next afternoon when Sergeant Preston reached Porcupine. He went directly to the home of John Ramsey. Leaving King outside with the team, Preston went into the house. As John Ramsey and Mary greeted him, the sergeant noticed that the banker's usually ruddy face was pale. He looked tired and he appeared to be uneasy.
Aren't you feeling well, Mr. Ramsey?
Well,
you look a little tired.
That's what I've been telling him, Sergeant Preston. He should get more rest.
I can't rest. I haven't been able to sleep since Jim was killed.
Someone at the door.
Sit still, Mary. I'll get it. I'll be right back, Sergeant Preston.
I hope for the chance to talk to you alone, Sergeant Preston. You don't believe that Tom killed my cousin Jim, do you?
The law says Tom is innocent, Mary, until he's proven guilty.
In spite of what Dad and Pete Euclid say, I know Tom isn't a killer.
Pete Euclid was an eyewitness, wasn't he?
He claims he was, but...
You doubt him?
Yes, I do.
Why?
because I know Tom.
Was there any hard feeling between Tom and your cousin?
No. Old Tom used to scold Jim for gambling. He tried to encourage Jim to get a job, but he never fought with Jim, Sergeant Preston.
Well, according to the report we received, Tom and Jim were alone in the house when Jim was killed.
That's right. I'd gone to visit some friends, and Dad was working at the bank.
I
don't...
I told you, what? You'd have to wait outside, see Sergeant Preston.
Let me see Sergeant Preston now.
I see you wait outside. Now do as you're told.
Let me see him now.
Oh, good heavens, Sergeant Preston. It sounds like a bank.
We'll see what's wrong.
Shove me aside to get into my house. I say you'll wait your turn to see Preston.
Sergeant Preston.
Hello, Matapa.
You know this Indian?
Of course. He's the son of Chief Eaglehead.
Well, then the chief should teach him some manners. I asked him to wait outside.
Matapa, not wait. My people need help plenty quick.
I tried to keep him out, Sergeant.
That's all right, Ramsey. What's wrong at the village, Matapa?
Plenty wrong. 3 Indian die. More sick. Chief not know how to help him.
Matapa was sick himself. On the trip from the village, he had been forced to stop to rest several times.
Sick.
Only a superhuman effort had kept him on his feet until he reached Sergeant Preston.
Indian need help. You help.
I'll go to the village at once, Matapa.
But what are you going to do about Tom Granite?
Oh, perhaps Tom will be here when you return, Sergeant.
No, he'll not come back.
You don't think so, Ramsey?
Well, I hope he doesn't come back.
Why?
Because I like Granite. If he's caught, I'd have to testify against him, and I'd hate to be the one to send him to prison. Frankly, I hope he's left the Yukon.
No. No, Tom wouldn't run away. I know he'll come back.
My dear, he wouldn't dare come back.
He said he'd come back and face the truth, Dad.
Sergeant Preston, perhaps you can convince Mary she's wrong.
I don't believe she is wrong, Ramsey. Tom Granite usually means what he says.
Is he... Well, in that case, Pete Euclid and I had better take steps to protect ourselves. We were the ones who sent the report of the killing to Dawson.
I'm sure Tom wouldn't harm either one of you. However, if you like, I'll leave King here till I return.
Fine. I'll warn Pete Euclid about Tom. Though I still hope we never see the boy again.
You ready to leave, Matapa?
Me ready.
Leaving King with the banker and Mary Ramsey, Sergeant Preston set out for Chief Eaglehead's village. Shortly after Sergeant Preston and Matapai left Porcupine, the Mountie noticed the Indians' lagging stride.
Looking! Hey, Husky!
Matapai agreed to ride in the sled, pleading as he did so for Sergeant Preston to hurry.
My people need help more than Matapai. You hurry, Indian village.
All right, Matapai.
The sergeant knew Matapai was ill. He bundled him in bearskin robes, and then...
On King! On, you Husky!
At the Indian village, Sergeant Preston was met in the council clearing by the chief. As soon as Eaglehead saw his son, he led Sergeant Preston to the lodge Tom Granite was using for a hospital. Preston carried the sick Indian through the doorway. The doctor was sitting beside one of his patients. His back was to the door. And as Preston studied the ex-Mountie's sagging shoulders, he knew Tom Granite was close to exhaustion.
Here's another patient for you, Tom.
Preston.
Matapa, I need your attention at once.
Put him right here.
All right.
While the doctor turned his attention to Matapa, Sergeant Preston walked about the lodge. He spoke to each of the convalescing Indians. When he returned to Matapa's side, Tom Granite was reassuring the chief.
It'll take a while for the serum to do its work, Chief Eaglehead. But I think Matapa will be all right.
Me stay here with son.
Sure.
Tom, I'd like to talk to you.
We'll go over here and sit down.
Is this diphtheria?
Yes, an epidemic had started when I arrived here. Fortunately, I had enough of the necessary supplies with me to treat and control the disease. Sit down.
Thanks.
Where did you meet Matapa?
In Porcupine.
Oh. I suppose you've talked to John Ramsey.
Yes.
He's lying when he says I killed his nephew, Preston.
The statement of an eyewitness appears to back his story, Tom.
Eyewitness? I was the only eyewitness to that accident.
Accident?
Yes. I'll tell you exactly what happened.
Sitting in a dim corner of the Indian Lodge, Tom Granite told Sergeant Preston how he had overheard the argument between John Ramsey and his nephew, Jim. He told how Jim had drawn a gun and explained the accidental shooting.
John Ramsey must have run out the back way as I came in the front, because when I reached the library, Jim was dead. I took the gun from him. I was holding it when Mary and her dad came into the room. 4 or 5 men who'd heard the shot were with them. They accused me of murdering Jim.
Why didn't you explain what happened?
I tried to, but even Mary believed that her dad had been working late at the bank. I love Mary, Sergeant Preston. I couldn't stand there and tell her her dad was a liar.
So you ran away?
I wanted time to think. I didn't know anything about an eyewitness. I planned to go back to Porcupine as soon as I could figure a way to make Ramsey tell the truth.
Ramsey hopes you'll stay away from town.
Of course he does. He doesn't want to admit the truth. He doesn't want people to know Jim was a thief, that he'd set a trap to catch him stealing.
I'll have to question Pete Euclid.
Euclid?
The eyewitness.
So he's backing Ramsey's story.
You're coming back to town with me, Tom.
How soon do we start?
As soon as Metapa is out of danger, you've had a chance to rest.
Within a few days, Metapai was feeling much better.
The worst is over, Preston. I'll not be needed here much longer.
It was then that the great dog King arrived at the village with a note from Mary Ramsey. The note said,
I am attaching this note to King's collar. Hope you'll be able to follow your scent and bring it back to Porcupine. Dad is desperately ill. No one in town will come near the house to help us because they say he has diphtheria.
Metapai was in Porcupine.
He was in Ramsey's house.
That's probably how John Ramsey got the disease.
Good thing you still have some serum, Tom. I'll have to go to Porcupine at once.
For John Ramsey?
Yes.
Let him send to Dawson for serum and a doctor.
Ramsey may die before a doctor can be brought from Dawson.
That liar deserves to die.
Tom, Mary sent King here because there was no other way to get help.
She sent the note to you.
Regardless of your personal feelings, Tom, you have a duty. You must try to save Ramsey's life.
All right. Let's go back to town.
With King to set a fast pace for Preston's dogs, the sergeant and Tom Granite arrived in Porcupine early the following morning. Tom went to the sick room immediately. Mary Ramsey sobbed with relief in the hall outside the bedroom.
Oh, thank heavens you and Tom are here. No one would come near the house. I couldn't leave Dad to go to Dawson myself.
Now don't worry, Mary. Tom will do everything possible for your father.
I know.
Don't worry, please. I'm going to see if Tom needs help.
All right, Sergeant Preston.
Oh, you're lying to me. I'm not going to get better.
That serum's going to save your life.
I'm going to die. I know I'll die.
What's wrong, Tom?
He's convinced he's going to die.
Sergeant Preston.
Hello, Ramsey.
Sergeant Preston, why is Tom Granite here?
He's the doctor.
He won't let me live. He'll kill me.
You don't know what you're saying, Ramsey.
Oh, yes, I do. Why should Tom Granite try to help me after what I did to him?
What did you do to him?
I lied. I lied about him killing my nephew.
What about the eyewitness?
Pete wasn't an eyewitness. I made him write that statement.
Calm down, Ramsey. Take it easy.
Easy? How can I take it easy when I know that I killed a man and try to blame you for it? Yes, that's what happened, Sergeant Preston. I'd set a trap for Jim so as I'd catch him looting my safe. He pulled the gun. We struggled. The gun went off. That's how Jim was killed. I don't want to die knowing I framed an innocent man.
Why did you lie, Ramsey?
I was afraid no one would believe the truth. I thought they'd think I murdered Jim.
Try to rest, Mr. Ramsey.
Rest. Yes, I'll rest.
After admitting the truth, John Ramsey closed his eyes. He slept quietly while the doctor stayed at his bedside. Early that evening, the banker wakened. He saw Sergeant Preston, his daughter Mary, and Tom Granite in the room.
Ducky,
how do you feel?
I feel like I live.
You slept all day, Dad.
It's the first peaceful sleep I've had since Jim was killed. I suppose you'll take me to jail as soon as I'm able to travel, Sergeant.
Why should I take you to jail?
Well, I told you about the shooting.
Yes?
I'll probably be tried for murder.
Tom told me what happened the night of the shooting.
He told you? But how did he know?
He was at the library window. He saw the shooting. His statement will clear you of all blame for Jim's death.
Tom, will you ever forgive me?
Of course, Mr. Ramsey. Don't worry about it.
Oh, Tom, I knew you weren't a killer.
Killer?
He's one of the finest men in the world, Mary.
Yes, I know he is, Dad. Now you just rest.
Well, I have an errand to take care of. You'll not need me here, Tom.
Of course not. But where are you going?
To talk to Pete Euclid about a false statement he sent to Dawson. Then this case will be closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Take a vote at your house, and I bet you'll find the whole family's choice for a delicious quick breakfast cereal is Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice.
The youngsters go for them because they're the ones shot from guns, exploded up to 8 times normal size, so they're extra crisp and tender.
Mom and Dad like them because they're quick, ready to serve with milk or cream and sliced bananas or other fresh fruit.
And every member of the family raves over the toasty, nut-like flavor of the good, natural, premium grains of wheat and rice. The sun-ripened, natural flavor that old Mother Nature puts into it.
You know, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice are not coated with factory sweetening.
And some in your family like their cereal not so sweet, and others like it very, very sweet.
And here's the beauty of Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. Your family can sweeten them with sugar themselves, just the way they like it.
Remember, too, in every delicious spoonful of Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, your family gets extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
So every morning, let the whole family reach for the big red and blue Quaker package.
The sealed inner lining keeps Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice crisp as can be for delightful quick breakfast.
And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, I want you to make a trip to Blizzard Creek.
Yes, sir.
I've had word that half a dozen of the roughest characters in the Yukon are living there. Men we've had trouble with many times before. Here's the list.
Oh, I recognize most of these names.
There's no place for them in the territory. You'll escort them to the border and warn them not to come back.
Yes, sir.
But the men on the sergeant's blacklist, sure that the remoteness of Blizzard Creek places them beyond the reach of the law, are already plotting robbery and murder. A young prospector has already been selected as their first victim, and the date for his death has been set. Don't miss this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at the same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereals shot from guns. Only Quaker Pak-O-Ten has all your family cereal favorites. A regular cereal pantry. That's Quaker Pak-O-Ten. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. Pak-O-Ten, and only Pak-O-Ten, has wheat and rice shot from guns. And Pak-O-Ten alone has the individual packages with the cellophane windows. There's both an inner and outer cellophane wrap to doubly protect that day it's made Christmas. Pick up a pack of Pak-O-Ten at your grocer's tomorrow. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is Jay Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.